Sunday if they hadn't have been a Christmas Sunday, and then all the time in between that he spent down here on the earth and all the things that he went through for us. And obviously we sang about that today, about the cross, and of course for the resurrection of the grave, from the grave to happen, that cross had to be in there, and that blood had to be shed. And so we thank God for what all he's done for us, and just like she signed today, we have so much to be thankful for. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is Matthew 8, 2 and 3. The title of my sermon is Touched and Changed. Touched and Changed. Now, in our, I guess, vernacular today, if you said somebody's touched, they might be a little, they're a little touched in the head, a little crazy maybe. And so we all, a lot of us in here can identify to that. And then, you know, some of us tough guys, you know, back in the day, don't touch me. Don't you touch me again, I'm going to, and you know, fill in the blank. But so we might not use that type of touched today. Of course, Jesus touched us. We ought to be touched maybe in our mental capacities is what he did for us. That ought to touch us. And then, of course, what he allows us to do for him. That ought to be touching. Just like Paul, like, I'm the chiefest of sinners. What in the world would you want with me? And obviously God used him on all those missionary journeys and to write a lot of the New Testament and to touch a lot of people. Because it wasn't Paul, it was the touch of God. And that's what we're talking about today. The touch of God is what makes a difference in everything. I believe what we just experienced was the touch of God. like Miss Amy, the devil would say, you ought to be bitter. You ought to be mad. No. God touched her, and she still has a relationship with him, and she still sees how God blesses in her life, and obviously she's looking forward to the day. I mean, you read about Fanny Crosby. I mean, we kind of got a little Fanny Crosby right here in our church, amen, and we get to experience that, but one day when she gets to heaven, she'll get some new ones, and she'll be able to see him, and wow, what a thought. And so stuff like that touches us emotionally, touches us spiritually. Again, sometimes I feel like God touched me physically a couple times. Wow, boy! I mean, pay attention! Like, okay. And I could give you examples of three truck wrecks that I know of that were my fault, not just because of my bad driving. It was because of my running from God. A lot of things like that can touch us. And that we feel like maybe, God's presence is so real. I mean, you feel like you could touch him. And that's what that lady, we'll see her here in a minute. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, and just his garment would fix me, and so forth. And so that's what we're going to look at today, touched and changed. And if you've ever been touched by Jesus, you've been changed. All right? And so forth. And so anyway, let's look at Matthew. Matthew 8, look at verses 2 and 3. It says here, and behold, there came a leper. This person had leprosy. And he came worshiping. And so, of course, he wasn't cursing God. And he wasn't saying, you gave me this problem. And, you're the cause of it. He came worshiping. And it says here, worshiping him, saying, I got some tears on my glasses now. Sorry about that. Worshiping him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And so, of course, he's coming here, he's worshiping the Lord, and he's giving, props to the Lord. Now, I know you have the power. I know you have the ability. And if you would, you could make me whole. You could make me clean. And verse 2 says here, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. There it is. Put forth his hand and touched him. And it says here, saying, I will. Because he just was told by this man that was worshiping, if you wilt. Jesus touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And here's the change. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So he had obviously sores all over his body, spots, if you want to call it, with white kind of pus on him. And you could tell, you could see it. Maybe he had even lost an appendage or two. That's what that disease did. But then Jesus touched him, and it says here, immediately, he was cleansed. I mean, you could see the spots were gone. If there was an appendage gone, he probably put it back. We see that he was touched and changed, and it was obvious. So as far as introduction goes, the Bible has got tons, and we'll just touch a few of them this morning, of examples of Jesus actually touching people. Now, there's some people out there. There's not many of them today. There used to be more of them. But I think the secret's out. They say that they have the power to touch you and to heal you. And again, you might see them on TV. With Google today, you probably could find anything. I wouldn't suggest it. But they'll get people up there that have some type of ailment, and they'll smack them in the forehead and say, "Be healed." And that just makes me angry. Number one, they're not Jesus. Number two, they don't have the power. Number three, they've got some actor or actress come up there, all right, and beguile people so they can take their money. It's a scam, a sham, all that stuff. And you know, my thought always is this, dude: if you say you got it, let's just go on down to the children's hospital, and you spend the rest of the day taking care of those kids. All right, big man, big woman, whatever you know, if you got it. Now, God still has it. He touched these people physically on the earth, and people saw it happen. God can still heal today through our prayers. It's not our prayer that heals. It's the God that still heals, but we can ask Him to. And we've got that prayer sheet that we pass out in Sunday school, and on that prayer sheet, there's been people that have this ailment, and then now they don't. Our prayers didn't do that, but our God can still do that. He touched them and changed them. So we're going to look at a few things here by way of introduction. Obviously, that leper was touched and cleansed, and he went away, the Bible says, whole. In other words, no spot of leprosy on him at all. I mean, can you imagine? All of them gone except maybe one. Well, I still see one on his forehead. No, that wasn't God. God says, if I can heal you, I'm going to take care of all of it. All right? And maybe there was one, you know, I still feel one right here that nobody can see. I'll just keep that. No. It says here he was whole. No spots on him. So that leper was touched and changed and he went away whole. Obviously, there's a story in the Bible where there was a blind man. There were some times where God told him to make a little mud cake and put the mud on his eyes. Okay, and then go to the pool and wash. And as soon as he did what God said, could see. Went away being able to see. And then it says here, the lame man. Obviously, some of them could limp or some of them couldn't walk at all. Some of them were born that way. And then there were some that had to be put into the pool and things like that. But God touched that person. And the Bible says that not only did he go away whole, he went away leaping or walking and leaping and praising God. So we see here it was a touched person and there was a definite, immediate change. And I've said this several times in here, that, you know, some of these movies that predict all the Bible stories and things like that, I think they should put this in there. Some of them, you know, it's the lame man, so for the drama or the effect, you know, they make him stand up, you know, maybe a little slower and a little, you know, oh, okay. No, the Bible says that he got up immediately, walking and leaping and praising the Lord. So let's do it right if we're going to do it. Hollywood, because our God can immediately change somebody. So we see that the leper went away whole. The blind went away seeing. The lame went away walking, leaping, and praising the Lord. There was even a story in the Bible where this insane man that cut himself and walked around the rude, crude dude, the nude. I think that song, There He Goes, The Streak, was written about him. All right. He was naked. But it says that Jesus touched him and the rest of the story, he went away clothed and in his right mind. And they were like, and I'm sure the day he got home, can you imagine that? The kids at the house, and my dad's a little, he don't wear clothes. He sleeps in the graveyard. He's cutting himself. He's just a little wackadoo. And all of a sudden he comes in the front door. They're probably a little nervous. Oh, that looks like Dad. But he's got clothes on. He's in his right mind. He knows me by name. Can you imagine that day? Touched and changed. So the woman with that issue of blood, we talked about that. She's like, man, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know just his presence, just his power would heal me. And it did. How about the widow woman that had the dead child? Like, I know you've you've called somebody to be able, that was blind can see, and a leper that's not leprous anymore, and somebody that couldn't walk can walk. But you know, what about this? No big deal for our Lord. The Bible says that He touched him and brought him alive. So then we have Paul, another example. Paul was a Christian and church persecutor. Wicked things that he did. But on that road to Damascus, he got touched by the Lord. Talked about how blind and those scales had fallen off, and God changed him right then and there. Then we have the lady that was caught in the act of adultery. And she knew it. She came over there, and Jesus said, "I know too. You know, you've had this husband, this husband, this husband, that guy you're with, he ain't even your husband." He knew. And so all of them, you know, "Stone her, you know, get rid of her, she deserves this." And he goes, "All right." And he starts writing in the dirt. I don't know, I've heard lots of thoughts behind that. The Bible doesn't say what he was writing. I heard one preacher say it was those all of the accusers. He wrote the accuser's name down and he started listing that accuser's sin. And that accuser and that accuser's sin. I don't know. All right. But he said, "All right, he that's without sin cast the first stone." When he looked up, there was nobody there. And of course he said, "Neither condemn I you, go and sin no more." So he touched and changed that lady's life. So that's some biblical examples. And if you're saved today, you have this same testimony that I have. At 10 years old, I was on my way to hell. No doubt. Okay? You think, "Well, that's kind of cruel sending a 10-year-old to hell." It was my sins that would have done it. It wasn't God. It was me. All right, but praise God, I came down from back there where Brother Phil is, and I knelt down right here. And I said, "Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I believe you'll save me, and I'm asking you to save me right now." And I know, not a physical touch, but definitely a spiritual touch, because the Bible says He took all my sins and He put them under His blood in the sea of forgetfulness, far as the east is from west, behind His back. He got rid of them. And so I was a little boy sitting back there on my way to hell, and when I got up from kneeling right there, I was on my way to heaven. You can't be touched and changed. That's a different direction. That's a 180. All right? Not a 360. All right? A 180. All right? And so He changed me. Now, obviously, from that time till I turned 17, I was in and out of church. Right with God, not right with God. But, backslidden, if you want to call it. And just like God can touch an unsaved person, He can touch a backslidden person. Right? Some of you, obviously, that are saved, you know He touched you. Some of you may have been like me and got out of church and got backslidden. And those truck wrecks I was talking about, and that conviction that I felt, I tell you, it felt like He was literally touching me. And got my attention and got me into church and touched me and changed me. And it was an obvious change, just like Paul's change was. Again, there wasn't nothing great about me. It was the great about the one that touched me and the one that changed me. So we see here, the Bible, we can't explain that scientifically. We can't explain it, but the Bible says in John 9:24-25 says this, "Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God praise." So here's one of the men that Jesus had touched. He couldn't see. Jesus touched him. Now he can see. But this group said, "Hey, look, don't give him the credit for it. You give God the credit for it. I'm okay with that. But don't give him the credit for it." And it goes on to say, "Give God the praise, for we know that this man is a sinner." So they were saying Jesus was lying about being the Son of God. He's just a carpenter's son. Right? He was lying about being able to touch you and to make you whole. He's lying. He's a sinner. Look what verse 25 says. "And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." So I can't explain what happened to me the day I was 10 years old and got saved. I can't explain to you what happened to me when I was 17 and got right with the Lord. I can't explain it. All I know, that I was on my way to hell, now I'm on my way to heaven. I was under the conviction and the judgment of God, and now I stand before Him as a son and righteous. Not my righteous, but His righteous. And so that's what this guy was saying. Look, I can't explain it. I don't know. And y'all can say what you want to, but all I know is this. A few minutes ago, I couldn't see. And Jesus touched me, and now I can. So what we're going to look at is what happens when we get touched by Jesus. We're going to look at a few things this morning. Number one, we will have a stronger foundation. We will have a stronger foundation. According to the Bible, in Luke 6, if you want to turn there, you can. But Luke 6, we'll see where it talks about this. And Jesus says, look, that foundation you're building on, that wood, that hay, that stubble, you're not going to make it through life. You're definitely not going to make it in heaven. So let's build upon the rock. That rock that came on Palm Sunday. That rock that died for us and resurrected next Sunday. We see we're going to have a stronger foundation. A building, and you've heard this, and you can prove this scientifically. A building is only as strong as its foundation. You know, there's monstrosities of buildings. I was actually on the towers the summer that it got blown up, just a few months beforehand. That's a sobering thought. But there's humongous buildings. And the only way they can go that high is they've been that deep. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look, let me touch you and change you, and let me let you build your life upon the rock. And so that building, if it was just built on the surface, just on the ground, no foundation, it would definitely fall over. And Jesus taught us that in Luke 6, 47 and through 49. It says this, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." There's a key there. There's a lot of people. You know, you witness to people and you give them the gospel and they say, "I've heard that before." Well, that's great. That means somebody planted. I mean, I've heard that several times. That's great. That means somebody watered. Well, what have you done with it? Have you done what the Bible says? Same thing. There's a lot of people that go to church and they hear what the Bible says, but if you're not adding it to your life and doing what it says, you're going to be on that sand. You're not going to be on that rock. It says here, "For whosoever cometh and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." And so Jesus said, look, the person that, see, here's my Bible, does what my Bible says. He's like this person. Verse 48. "He's like a man which buildeth an house and digged deep." How do we dig deep? We have personal devotions. We read the Bible for ourselves. We go to Sunday school and we hear it taught. We go to Wednesday night service and we hear the Bible study. We come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we hear more of the Bible. And that just gets us deeper and deeper, stronger and stronger. And it says here, "For he laid the foundation on the rock, and when the floods arose," there's still some around here, all right, "when the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it." And you've seen Christians like this. They're young Christians. They haven't dug deep, and that tragedy happens, or that difficulty happens, and it shakes them. And they maybe get out, they get backslidden. All right? But what they said, look, no, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to dig deep. It's not going to shake me. But it says here, "it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock." And obviously we know the rock of ages. We know He's Jesus Christ. Verse 48:9 says this, "But he that heareth and doeth not." So they've heard how to get saved, but they haven't. Or they've heard how to be right with God, but they haven't. They've heard how to live for God, but they haven't. "He's like a man that built his house upon the earth." No foundation, just right there. Right on the grass. "And against the stream, that same stream, doth beat vehemently." And it says here, "and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So what Jesus is saying, like, look, hear my Bible. Do what it says and let me touch you and change you and you'll have a deeper foundation. Of course, we've heard that the Bible saying that the sands of this world is definitely not how to build your life, but we ought to build it on that rock of Jesus Christ. Let Him touch us and change us. When you hear of the rock, I guess in our world today, the rock of Gibraltar, I guess, is the most famous or maybe the biggest or the strongest. But if you study it, I read about it. It says here it's had to actually have some repairs to make it last as long as it has because of the tide and the times have left its mark of decay on this historical rock. But the rock that we're talking about today, nor the time nor decay can mess with Him, because He's the rock of ages. And that song that we sing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." So we're supposed to allow Him to touch us and change us. So when Jesus touches us, He will lift us, the Bible talks about, out of that miry clay, that shifting sand, and He'll put our feet solid on the rock. And so if you'll allow Him to touch you and change you, He'll put you on a stronger foundation. Number two, we will look different to the world. If we allow Jesus to touch us and change us, we'll look different to the world. And so we could go back through there and look at all those stories, right? And they look different. They were touched and immediately changed. And so you're looking at a person that's got leprosy and all of a sudden they don't. Obvious change. You're looking at a person that cannot see. The touch obviously changed and now they can. Person that couldn't walk. The touch obviously changed and then now they were walking. The man that was naked and cutting himself and sleeping in the grave. Here he is in his right mind and fully clothed. Obvious change. And so when Jesus touches you, there's going to be an obvious change. And so we'll look at, here's an example. There was a drunkard. He was such a drunkard that his mom and dad were a drunkard and had been giving him whiskey, alcohol, in his bottle since he was a baby. So raised in it. Didn't know anything but alcohol. And so, of course, he became an alcoholic and he was known in the town. For being the alcoholic, that's the old drunk guy, and that's this guy, and that's that guy. But somebody gave him a gospel tract, somebody witnessed to him, he got saved. He got touched. And so now he goes back to the town, he doesn't look like the drunk, he doesn't sound like the drunk, he doesn't even smell like the drunk. He's different, and everybody's like, it's obvious. So he obviously witnessed to them, and told them about his salvation touch, and how God changed him and encouraged them to allow him to do the same. So he went back to that old town and they could see the difference. How about this verse? Acts 4:13. It says here, "And when the world saw Peter and John, in their boldness, they perceived." I think that's got the connotation of seeing. "They marveled," again, "and they took knowledge," and here it is, "that they had been with Jesus." So allow God to touch you and change you to the point that people can tell there's something different about that person. I bet they're a Christian. I bet they have a relationship with God. And so they perceived that the blind could see, and they perceived that the lame could walk, and they perceived that the leper was whole, and they perceived that the insane guy was clothed in his right mind. Yes, they say, I got saved. I mean, some people could say this, well, I got saved when I was young. And so there wasn't this great, miraculous change. And I've heard that a lot. Why? Because I was saved at 10, and there wasn't a great change. I was going to hell, now I'm going to heaven. That's a pretty great change. But there wasn't a lot of outward look change, an out thing like that. And you say, well, you know, I was saved at 5. You know, I was still going to church every day of my life. And so when I got saved, I mean, I looked the same. I acted the same. And so it wasn't a great change. So don't let the devil rob you of, obviously, your touch and your change, because heaven and hell, big time change. Okay? But what we have to do is now say, okay, I couldn't back then make this, or allow God to make this dramatic change from blind to seeing and from leprosy to whole and insane to in my right mind. It wasn't that big a deal. But today, in this atmosphere that we live in, there ought to be a difference in me now that they can see. Okay? In other words, I look different from the world. There's not a big difference in me. I've just been doing that all my life. But they ought to see that there's a difference between us and the world now. A huge difference. It's kind of like these trees right now. A couple months ago, most of them didn't have a leaf on them. And I know because I had to rake them all. All right, and haul them off. Oh my goodness, or burn them, or whatever you can do with them. All right, but now all of a sudden the touch of spring is coming, and some of us know that too because we're like, all right. But they're looking different. It's an obvious difference, And so that's what a Christian in this world is supposed to be, an obvious difference from the world. That drunk, it was obvious because he was a drunk. Now he's saved and right with God and not drinking anymore. It was a big time change. But even if we were saved at a young age, we can look different now in this world. Allow that touch of spring, that touch of Jesus to help us. So, what happens when we're touched and changed? Number one, He'll give us that strong foundation. Number two, He will make us different, or the difference to the world. Number three, and again, this is always I don't know if it's a comparison or an argument, but both are important. The third thing is you'll be different on the inside too. All right? Nobody can see that. We might have hidden sins and secret sins and things like that. But if God touches you and changes you, you know it too. Maybe nobody can see that part. They can see the difference. But we see here this old lady in the nursing home was singing this old-time hymn to the top of her lungs. And the young preacher that was at the nursing home that day went in to visit her in her room and asked her, "How long have you been a Christian?" Okay? He didn't see a great change. He could just hear what was on the inside coming out. All right? And if there's something going on the inside, it'll have to come out. Whether it be singing, whether it be witnessing, whether it be testifying, it'll have to come out. And she's like, I guess that's how old people talk. Nigh upon 60 years. Okay, so she remembered what happened to her 60 years ago on the inside. And it was still wanting to get out. And what we have to realize is sometimes the greatest miracles that Jesus has done is on the hearts of men. Not just those lepers and those lame and those insane, but the person that looked normal. There was no big deal. But they were lost on their way to hell. That heart was black with sin. But Jesus touches that heart and makes it clean within. So that lady had something on the inside that there was an abiding and a helpful inside help that it just had to get out. So people, when they come up to you, they might ask you questions like this. What church do you go to? They can just tell. All right? Or they might even ask you, well, what position do you hold at your church? Because they can just tell. All right? Or they might even say, well, how much do you give to missions? Because they can just tell. The outside is just that much. But all that stuff takes place on the inside first. So what they're asking is Jesus really real to you? Because they can just tell. On the inside works its way out. So some say it's what's on the inside that counts. I think the Bible says it's what's on the inside and the outside that counts. What's the Bible say? Obviously that secret sin, God knows, it counts. But the Bible also commands us to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. So you can't just glorify inside. You got to do both. The inside and the outside help. So what happens when Jesus touches us and changes us? We get a stronger foundation. We look different to the world. The inside starts happening. Number four, we'll get the right spirit. We'll get the right spirit. Numbers 14:24. Old Testament verse here. Numbers 14:24. We'll get a different spirit. Okay, we'll have the spirit of man. We'll have the spirit of our flesh. We'll have the spirit of this world. We'll have the spirit of the devil. But when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. So you got a different spirit. And Numbers 14:24 gives Caleb an example of this. Or uses Caleb as an example of this. It says in verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit." In other words, there was something different. You get a touch and a change, you'll have a different spirit about you. You might even become a glass half full person over a glass half empty person. Well, life just stinks, so this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because it's another spirit. If you'll allow Him, He can touch you and change you. And that's what He said. Caleb had another spirit within him. Why? Because he hath followed me fully. He was one of those hearers and doers. He did everything that the Bible says. And because of that, God says, I'm going to bring him into the land wherein he went. And you know the story, Joshua and Caleb, they went in there, they came back. We can do it. We can take the promised land. The other eight came back, like, we can't do it. There's no way. Those dudes are huge. They will take us out in the blink of an eye. We can't do it. But Caleb had another spirit, and it was different. It was obvious that he'd been touched and changed by Jesus. So we see here, if we've been touched and changed, we'll have this. I'll give you a list of them. We'll have the spirit of meekness, not pride. We'll have the spirit of love, not hate. We'll have the spirit of forgiveness, not revenge. Like, I'll get even. Right? We'll have the spirit of one accord, not of my way or the highway. We'll have the spirit of cooperation, not division. We'll have the spirit of submission, not rebellion. So if there has been a touch and a change, this is another spirit that Jesus will put on us. So some people, they say this. They say, I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't steal. I don't live immoral. I actually go to church. I actually give money. I'm practically perfect. And the devil's fine with us thinking that. Because that probably right there is not going to help change anybody else. That's just going with the flow. But we see here, what we have to do is we have to have the Spirit of Christ. And we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we'll say, I got a long ways to go. We won't get that prideful thing. I don't this and I don't that and I do this and I do that. No. That spirit of meekness, that spirit of forgive and I'll forgive you. All those things will be in us if we have that another spirit. Last one. I got a few more points on that before I give you the last one. I'm sorry. Galatians 6:1 says here, ye that are spiritual, in other words, you've got that other spirit, restore such a one. So the spirit of Christ, it loves. And it loves God, and it loves neighbor, and it loves the lost. Right? When Jesus came, He went over and ate with the publicans, not to become like the publicans, but for the publicans to become like Him. And He got ridiculed for all that. But He loved. He loved God and He said, not my will, but thine be done. He loved His neighbor. He wanted everybody to repent, not any to perish. He loved the lost. So the Spirit that controls us should do that same thing. It'll forgive. And that's what, I mean, we got this heavy responsibility on us about forgiveness. Because the Bible says if you'll forgive your neighbor, then God will forgive you. But if somebody does something and you're like, I'm not forgiving them, God's like, can't forgive you. That's a pressure on us. So we got to have that other spirit to be able to forgive. Help and serve. Jesus came down and took on a form of a servant. That's what we have to do. So what happens when we're touched and changed? We'll get that deeper foundation, stronger foundation, different from the world. We'll be different on the inside too. We'll have the right spirit. I'll give you this one and then I'll give you the last one. We'll give more when we're touched by God. On the videos of the missionaries, they'll probably touch your heart and you'll see the need. And that's what the Bible says. We'll give more of our time. We'll give more of our talents. We'll give more of our treasures. And so if we have a touch and change, we'll give more. And here's the last one. We will have a better future awaiting us. A better future awaiting us. If we allow God to touch. That person, if he'd have went through life with leprosy, his future wouldn't have been very long. He would have probably died. But when Jesus touched him, now he's got the rest of his life to live without leprosy. Greater future awaiting. That person that couldn't see, obviously, if they got saved, they would be able to see when they got to heaven. But they got touched and they were able to see then and live their life. Same way with the lame. Same way with the insane. We have a better future awaiting us. For those that have been touched by the Lord, a couple things here. We have that Christian and non-Christian. Look at that future. The Christian has a future because they've been touched and changed, saved and on their way to heaven. Obviously, their future is heaven. The person that hasn't been touched and changed, lost, they're on their way to hell. So when we get there, it won't be how much money we've made, or it won't be how much pleasure we've had, or it won't be how much fame that we've had, and it won't be much how much power we had. It'll be if we've been touched or changed by Jesus. It's kind of like that train on the track. I don't know a lot about trains and things like that. I get it. It's a train. You've got the locomotive pulling, you've got cars, they all rolling on the track, I get that. But there's what we call the switchman. And if he doesn't do his job, there can be an accident head on. And we've seen them on the news. Because the switchman either forgot to hit the switch or the switch went bad. And basically that train does this, that track does this. And it determines the destination of that train? And so obviously Jesus is the switch man. He's like, look, I want to touch and change your destination. And so if we're on our way to hell, wide open down that train track, and we get saved, we get touched and changed, Jesus is the switch man. He switches our destination. And you look at it and say, well, you know, way back here, and this is when Jesus wanted you to get saved, way back there when you were young, so you'd have longer on the pleasant track. But He's okay to hit the switch. You've heard it called deathbed conversions. You can get that train track switched at any time. It's just up to you. Ask Him to switch it. And so we see here that saved person and that lost person have two different destinations. Now, we're looking at the Christian, I guess the right with God, the blessed, the serving Christian, opposed to the backslidden and the not right with God and out of His will Christian. There's different futures waiting. Both of them are heaven. But according to that great white throne judgment, I mean that judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be different things awaiting us. So if we've allowed Him to change that switch and we've let Him touch us and change us and we served Him from our hearts and for His glory, we're going to have a lot of things waiting for us as far as rewards that we can cast at His feet. So what happens when we get touched and changed by Jesus? We'll have a stronger foundation. We'll look different from the world. We'll be different on the inside too. We'll have the right spirit. We'll give more. And we'll have a future, a different future awaiting us. Now, so two questions I have before we give the invitation. One, if you're not saved, let Him touch you and change you. And you'll go from going to hell to going to heaven. It's that simple. Let him switch your tracks. And then if you are not right with the Lord, you're saved, let Him touch you. Let Him change you. He can do that. I love that song, He Touched Me. My family sings it. When all of us are together, we'll sing it. I'm going to try to sing just the chorus today for you, because I love it. And this is a testimony. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. What a song. And I hope you can probably sing it way better than I can. But I like it. Because I didn't do anything. He just touched me. And He made me whole. I still can't do anything in my own. But with His touch, whoo, He can help you. So if you need His touch today, if you've never been saved, let Him touch you and save you. If you're a little bit away from Him, backslidden, let Him touch you and get you back under His wings of protection, where He can bless you. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to come and lead us the invitation. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this day. And Lord, we thank You for that touch. Lord, I hope everybody that's sitting here today that is saved can remember the day that You touched them. And Lord, just like myself, in and out of the will of God, right with Him, not right with Him, we struggled. But Lord, there's that touch that says, okay, from now on, I'm going to be a hearer and a doer. And if I get out of that way a little bit, you just pop me upside the head if you need to. Because I want that touch. Because one day I'm going to stand before You and give an account of my life down here on earth. And Lord, help us to go out of here today, all of us singing that song, He Touched Me. I don't know what happened, but something happened. And joy just flooded my soul. And Lord, I just ask You to just speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Brother Derek, altar is open. If you need to be saved, I'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you want to come pray and ask God to touch you in any way, the altar is open.